Well, we've come to the last meeting of this series of 2 days. I always feel at the end of a conference the solemnity of this last gospel. It seems to me that the Lord has given us such a feast throughout the conference, throughout the 2 days. But he gives opportunity, one more opportunity, for any who may have sat in these meetings and are still lost. It seems he's just prolonged it a little longer, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We heard last evening that it's quite possible to come to meetings like this, sit through them, and go out the door lost. And so tonight, I trust that if someone has sat here during these 2 days and do not know their sins forgiven, they will not leave this room until they're sure they're ready to meet God. I don't know everyone in the room, and if someone has come in, took advantage of the invitation to come, we want to welcome you tonight. Well, with the thought that this may be the very last opportunity, I want to sing a favorite hymn of mine. I think it's a warning. It's number 25. It says life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. You know, the gospel is not going to go forth forever. There's going to come a moment when this message will no longer go forth. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. The judgment is coming. There was going to be a flood. It seemed impossible. They'd never seen rain. But you know, one day, the door was shut. It was never opened again. Tonight, let's sing this and think about the words of it. Someone that started for me, please.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Bye.
God's word says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And we look to him for his help. Our loving God and Father, we do come before thee at the beginning of this hour. We thank thee for the 2 days that thou hast given to us. We can enjoy those things of thyself, to enjoy the person of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we are at this last meeting, these last few minutes of this time together. And we wonder whether each one in this room will enjoy these things, will ever be caught up to be forever with thee, or to be left behind. Oh, if there be one in the room tonight that does not know thee, Lord Jesus, the Savior, who has sat here and enjoyed the company of their friends, but have not enjoyed thy company, we do pray tonight that they may realize they are sinners and they must meet thee. We thank thee again, loving God and Father, for thy love. For thou didst love this world. Thou didst send thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to save sinners. We thank thee that tonight, at this very moment, we can still proclaim that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We know not when the door will be shut. And so we seek thy help. We seek help for the speaker, that thou wilt bring the very portions, the very words to his mouth, give clarity of mind, strength. We just ask these things and give thanks in the worthy and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Read that again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I just read recently of a man who, in Australia, gave out tracts for 40 years, and with each tract, he asked a question. As he handed the tract, he said, "Are you saved? If you should die tonight, will you go to heaven?" That was the message that he gave with each tract. I want to ask you the same question tonight. Are you saved? If you should die tonight, will you go to heaven? And I'd like to add, if the Lord Jesus would come tonight, will you go to heaven? These are serious questions. And this man, he for 40 years, that was his message. Interesting, for 40 years, he never heard of one convert until 2 weeks before his death. That was his message for 40 years. The Lord blessed that message to many. And it was found out there were hundreds, not thousands, through that message that were saved. But that's the point tonight is, I want to ask you that same question. Are you saved? You know, that's not a message that goes forth very often in this world anymore. The question of, are you saved? And I want to ask you, what does it mean to be saved? What have you been saved from? If you're in a burning house, and someone come in and pulls you out, we'd say that you were saved from certain death. But what does it mean when we say, are you saved? God's word clearly states that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It also states that after death is the judgment. It is appointed on the man once to die, then the judgment. God isn't a holy God, and he cannot have sin in his presence. Tonight I feel I am speaking to perhaps everyone in this room who knows the facts of the gospel. So I will not go into all the details because I believe you know them. But God looks down and he saw and he tells us in his word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone that sits in this room tonight is a sinner. They're either a lost sinner or they're a saved sinner. Everyone has sinned. And if you're here tonight, not sheltered, not saved, God in his love saw the condition of mankind and he had a plan how we might be spared. Yes, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God's plan was that he would provide his own beloved son to come down and die so that we might not have to die. And so it is tonight that we can stand here and offer on God's behalf salvation. That you don't have to perish. You know, I've often said the difference between lost and perish is lost, there's still hope. The perish, you've gone beyond hope. We sometimes read in the newspaper how that someone is lost. And they've got a search party out for them. And they're looking for them. Why? Because there's still hope of finding them and saving them from perishing. But once we read, such a one perished, they don't look. That's the end. There's no hope for them. And so it is tonight, if you're lost, there's hope. God has provided a means of salvation. And he's offering you tonight. And that's what I want to speak a little about. Who is this one that we must meet? This one that we've read that is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of living God. If we go down to the next chapter in verse 2, we find this one is most powerful. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Here we find the power of God. He spoke, and the worlds came into being. And I want to say to young people, and some perhaps are not so young, that when you go to school, you're going to be taught all the various ways that this earth possibly came into being. Don't believe any of it. It's simply God spoke. And I say, some not so young, not too long ago, a man, perhaps in his 50s, a Christian, yes, gathered, and he started to explain to me how God would make and how he'd bring the molecules together and how he would make the world. He started with nothing, it tells us. The things which are seen, the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things that do appear. God took nothing. He didn't need anything. He didn't have to bring certain molecules or whatever you want to call them together to make the world. He spoke. That's his power. And that is the one with whom we have to deal with. And you can see with such a one that is so powerful. And we could read that he cannot look upon sin. It tells us that he is of two pure eyes, behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. God is light. He can't have sin in his presence. And so we have the meat, such a one. If we were to turn back at least the fourth chapter of the same book of Hebrews, we'd find that we must meet with him. He's got the date circled. You can't get out of the appointment. Many appointments we can skip, call up and cancel, whatever. This is one we must meet, this one. And so it is. How then are we going to find a way of meeting with him? Let's look at a little further down the chapter, chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him or please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The very starting point. First, we must believe that God made this world and we're responsible to him because he made us. We must believe he exists and is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. The last, especially yesterday, we had a lot concerning faith. It's such a simple thing, and yet I think there's been more people stumbled over the word, over faith, than many other things. What is faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know, we have different ideas, I believe, what faith is. And I think for many newly converts, faith, the word faith, seems to cause a problem. And often they begin to wonder whether, do I really have enough faith? We meet some and they say, I've got my faith, you've got your faith, let's just go on. A total misunderstanding here of faith. Let's turn to, I think, the best definition, the one that I like best anyway, as to faith, is found in Acts. It's right near the end of Acts. This is where Paul was on the ship that was in a storm. They've been there for several days. And Paul receives a message in verse 23. It says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Let's go down to verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he hath told me. I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. I know no better definition or explanation of what faith is. That we believe what God has told us. You know, when someone says, I've got my faith, you've got yours, how foolish often if we consider what they're saying. It depends whether the object or the person, whatever we have put our faith, Trust, we could say, is another word in whether it's trustworthy. I don't believe in the Word of God you'll find faith used anyplace else other than that which is positive and trustworthy. People talk about faith in a certain person. There's no man in this world that we can put faith in. Every single person can fail. We talk about, and men talk about, faith in a certain thing. For instance, I think most of us heard the story of the Titanic, that ship that left England, beautiful ship, declared it was impossible to sink. And I expect that everyone who stepped on that big ship, the Titanic, got on in absolute faith that we're going to reach New York. So it's not a matter of, oh, we got faith. It's the object or the person that we have it in that matters. We know the story of that Titanic. It never reached New York, that first trip it made. That unsinkable ship, it sunk and hundreds went to their death. And so when God talks about faith, it has to be in a person that cannot fail. And it's not a matter of how much our faith is. I think this is where many young people that are recently saved, many children, after they're saved, they start to get doubts. Perhaps I don't believe enough. The point is not how much you believe, but who do you believe in? As we had sometime today, the question was, I believe it's Sunday school. In whom do you trust? That is the question. In whom is it that we trust? In the days of the children of Israel, when they went to leave Egypt, and we know that the blood was put on the door, and the angel of the Lord was coming through that night, and anyone who was in a house that didn't have blood on the door, the oldest was slain. Everyone who was in a house that had blood on the door, as God had told them to do, they were safe. It wasn't a matter of whether the person inside was nervous or whether he was rejoicing. It made no difference. It was because of what God had said. And the blood was there. And so it is tonight. Faith is really in the person. And what is it? It's in believing what that person has told us. You know, we don't know anything else other than what we're told in this book. And Paul could say, I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. And so I'd like to just consider just a few things that the Lord has told us. I believe every one of us in this room perhaps know these things that God has told us. And I would like to ask the question tonight, before we even get into these verses, why have you not believed? Is it because you do not trust that God is telling the truth? You know, we're told, if we don't believe what God has said, we don't believe we're a sinner, we're saying that God is a liar. What a serious thing to tell God he's a liar. And if we go on that way, we will meet this one that we read about, that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Can you imagine meeting the one that you have declared to be a liar? The one who did everything possible to save your soul, gave his own son, and you turned them down. Said, I don't want it. I don't believe you. And that's really what it is. I don't believe you. And so tonight, I would like to ask you the question. We asked at the beginning, are you saved? I want to ask another question. If not, why not? If you're in the room tonight, or this afternoon, and do not know your sins are forgiven, why not? Someone mentioned, I believe it was yesterday, that sometimes it's we just want a little bit more of this world. A little bit more of the pleasures of this world. We feel if we become a Christian, we're going to have to give those things up. And we just want a little bit more for a little bit longer. Is that true of anyone in the room? Has anyone got a thought in your mind that, oh, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up some of the fun that I'm having in the world? To that, I want to give a very humble illustration. I think we've all seen, as we're driving along, and there's a dead carcass on the road, and there's a crow, big crow, feasting on it. And as we drive down, you amazing how they time that as you get closer. Now, one more bite, one more bite, one more bite, and then they try to get away. Well, we've often seen it, and on the way down, we saw the big crow. He took one bite too many, and he wasn't able to get off. He was lying dead. Is that what you're doing? Are you going to take one more bite of this world before you come? God says he speaketh once, yea, twice. Has the Lord spoken to your heart before? Have you ever been exercised that you ought to come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior and own him as your Savior? Own him that you're a sinner and desire to be saved. Or do you want just one more bite of this world? Well, I'd like now to turn to just a story of a man who had faith. Luke 18. Again, we know this story. We don't need to have an awful lot of knowledge. If we were to turn to those well-known verses in John 3, we would read that when God looked down and knew the desperate need of the sinner, that he was going to perish. Every single man and woman in this world would perish if there was no Savior provided. There was none that could save himself. There was no way. Every sinner must die. And then we read such a lovely verse that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is, he has faith in him, that is, he trusts that one, that person that cannot fail, that one who cannot lie. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we read that he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now we come to this story in Luke, and we read of this blind man. And I think we have here a little picture of a man who had faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. Verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come unto the Jericho, nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told them that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I will do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Well, here's a man, I'm sure he hadn't got a big education, he didn't know a whole lot. But he was a beggar, he was a blind man. They didn't have blind pensions in those days. And the only hope he had was to sit on that dusty road and hope for the goodness of somebody to throw a coin in. How long have you been there? Probably many years. And those who have been to Israel and seen the dusty roads in the desert would know what it'd be like to sit there down near Jericho. Suddenly he hears a lot of traffic. Foot traffic. And he asked the question, what does this mean? What's going on? And you know the answer they got? Oh, there's a man here from Nazareth. I've been to Nazareth. Many here have been to Nazareth. It's not the most nicest town in Israel. A very poor place. They said, that Jesus of Nazareth is going by. He's passing by. The Lord Jesus, his word, is passing by this room this afternoon. He may never come this way again. The offer of salvation may never be offered again. Brother in the prayer room, as we prayed before the meeting, said that this may be the very last opportunity. God is given one more opportunity. This may be the last time Jesus is passing by. What does this blind man do? Well, I'll wait till the next time. Did he say, Jesus of Nazareth, would you listen to me? Somewhere this man had heard that the Son of David would be the Messiah, the one who could give sight. He didn't refer to that man going by as the Jesus of Nazareth. But why does he cry out? He cries out because he had faith in that man, in the man. And we have here that. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, thou Son of David. He was told it was Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David. He had faith in this man. Have mercy on me. And they rebuked him. Oh, dear friends, today, if you are exercised and your friend that is still unsaved know that you're exercised, they're going to rebuke you. A dear sister I was talking to yesterday, and I'm sure she's in the room today, and I'm sure she won't mind if I won't mention her name, but she told me that when she was a girl, she grew up in a very religious home. She went to church. As a girl, she went off to camp with a group. And there she heard for the first time how to be saved. And she accepted it. And she came home and told her mother that I was saved. Oh, did her mother rejoice? No. Get that out of your mind. We don't believe that stuff. I didn't know they taught that at that place. Oh, that's what the world will tell you. That's what your friends, unsaved friends, will tell you. They rebuked this man. Did it stop him? No, he was in earnest. Nothing was going to stop him. He just cried out the more. Now, and he told him to hold his peace, but he cried out the more. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And here we find the Lord Jesus stood still in front of a beggar. And said, word to this blind man, what do you want? The man knew he was blind. You know you're a sinner? He said, Lord. Oh, it's amazing what this man, that blind man, first he recognizes the Son of David. Now he owns him as Lord. And he says, Lord, have mercy on me. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Has God ever turned a sinner down? Never. He didn't turn this blind man down either. And he will not turn you down. tonight. Have you put your faith in that man? Have you put your faith in that man? In what he has told you? He has told you that the sinner must die. And he's told us too that without the shedding of blood, that is, unless someone dies, unless you die, or without that blood, life is given up. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. But then he's told us in this word, and oh, I love this verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's one of the things that he's told us. I believe what God has told me. That is faith. I believe what God has told me. Can there be any doubts if we believe what God has told us? The blood of Jesus Christ. All those sins that he has recorded told us that we're sinners. But now he tells us a way that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Our seer time's gone. Have you accepted him? Do you believe what he has told him, told you in his word? Oh, if you just rely, trust what he has told you. If you can say, like Paul could say, I believe, it shall be even as he has told me, you'll never have another doubt. Because God's word has never changed. You can go back day after day and look at that same verse and find the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can read through that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. That's one of the things that he's told us. I believe that it shall be even as he has told me. Oh, as you read the scriptures, I want to suggest to you young people, especially those who have recently been saved, just read those verses and say, I believe it shall be even as God has told me. Well, I see your time's gone. We won't sing. We'll just ask the Lord's blessing. Oh, our loving God and Father, as we end this time together, we do pray if there's one in this room that when we get home to the Father's house, in thy house, when we're all together there, there'll be none that are here in this room tonight, there'll be missing. We do pray that there's one who has put it off, who, as it were, wants to feed just one little longer, that they may realize that it could be too late. So we do ask thy blessing. We thank thee, our loving God and Father, for the love that would send thy beloved Son to die for us. We read that Christ died for us. No, we trust that each one in this room can say that Christ died for us. We do pray that as we read thy word, that we may, in simple faith, say as Paul of old, I believe it shall be even as God has told me. We ask and give thanks in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.